Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks, T. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I got to tell you about something that happened to me last week.
What happened?
So there are always a lot of commercials on TV, and I try to watch TV on a lot of the Netflix, the Hulus, because I'm so tired of the commercials.
Okay.
But I have to say that I actually had experience last week where a commercial actually truthfully showed me what the product would do.
Okay. What product was this?
1-800-JUNK.
No way. What did they show you and what did you get?
So when you Google them, you actually log on and you fill out a little form. You give them your zip code. And I am not kidding you. Within 10 minutes, they had contacted me and said they could be there in 30 minutes if I needed it.
Okay.
I was a little bit taken aback. I thought it would be, you know, a couple days.
Like, yeah, whoa, take me to dinner first.
But they were efficient.
Yeah.
They were on time.
Mm-hmm.
They were polite.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like their commercial where you point and everything's gone. It was that fast.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
what'd you get rid of?
I was just cleaning out the garage or whatever. Yeah. But it was one of those things where I didn't really know. It wasn't good enough to donate, but I didn't know what to do with it. So yeah. I used it for a client this week where we had mattresses and they're difficult to get rid of. So Box Springs and mattresses, and they were all of a sudden, it was like pointing my finger and it was all gone. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that is nice.
I just want you to know 1-800-JUNK is really worth it and they do a good job. It can be a little expensive because they do it according to the size of the truck, the amount of space that you need in it.
And the weight.
I was so impressed.
Yeah.
And it really was like the commercial. So
I don't know if I used 1-800-JUNK or a different one, but I did use a junk service once and I was like, wow, this is just awesome. Like I have all this stuff that's been giving me a headache for forever and I can just call somebody and they take it.
Yeah. And it was like things like a hose, a garden hose that was leaking, right? So you're not going to, but you, like, yeah, anyway, it was awesome and I highly recommend it.
Yeah. All right. So this week we're talking about creating a warm and inviting holiday patio or porch. So in this time of year, it can get a little chilly. And if you've got a nice outdoor space, it's nice to extend its useful life into the shoulder seasons, maybe even into the deep winter. So why don't we talk about, you know, how do you design a holiday patio or porch that's both beautiful and practical for entertaining guests?
So a couple things. I am very big on fire pits.
Okay.
And the reason being is if you have one, it just seems to be a spot that people gather, even when it's a little bit cold out.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that people bring out a blanket, you know, some throw that they have, and they'll sit around the fire pit. It's nice because there are no bugs, but it's a little bit crisp. So a fire pit can be just a really inviting element to your patio or outside living.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the fire pit, even though it's probably not warm enough for you to sit next to it with a t-shirt, it is warm enough to dry you outside.
The other thing that one of my clients has, which is just stunning, is a kind of freestanding screened-in porch. And they got it. It was prefab. It was made at a company called Clotter Farm, which is in Connecticut.
It's not attached to their house.
It's not attached to their house.
So it's like a gazebo?
It's like a gazebo.
Okay.
But inside of it, they put a TV.
Oh, yeah.
And they put outdoor dining because it's a screened-in porch, so they don't have to worry about the bugs. But they also have put one of those space heaters, the ones that you see on patios.
Yeah.
And so during football season, he sits out there and watches football games, and it's really cool.
That's awesome.
But this kind of Clotter Farm is a great resource in case people don't know. There are prefab companies out there that make garages and gazebos and screen-in porches, and it's great for inviting you outside, even in the little bit of the shoulder seasons.
Right on. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, heating is such a big piece of this, right? Because what we're competing with out here is, or up here, is the weather. But people still like fresh air. People still like being outside. And so, you know, if you can create the right space, people will do it.
And I think the heating elements that could be put on patios and outdoor spaces now are primo.
Yeah.
They've gotten so much better.
Yes, absolutely. How about lighting?
So there are a couple things. I definitely think outdoor lighting and holiday lighting is, I mean, I think when you go buy a house that has it, you go, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of brings you in, particularly if you drive around in December and you see Christmas lighting or different types of lighting, you go, it makes you turn your head and want to look at the house again. So mm-hmm. I think unique kind of holiday designs that are outside that involve lighting, mm-hmm. up lighting, specialty lighting, like twinkly stars at Halloween. People hang pumpkins that light up on their porches. And I think all that is inviting and kind of upbeat for the holidays. I also think there are people that use candles and candlelight, and that also does a lot of stuff on the patios and porches to kind of make it more inviting.
Yeah. I am a sucker for a mason jar full of fairy lights.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's like a Pinterest cliche, but I love them.
Do you have them on your patio?
No, I don't. But I do appreciate them when somebody else has them. I just think they look cool. The little copper wires and the little dots of light are just like a nice, it's a cool, subtle look. And I know lots of people have decided that. So now we may be moving from like, it's cool to it's cliche.
Yeah.
But I'll stick with it for a while.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
Okay, so this week's question is, what are the most common misconceptions people have about your job?
Very simple.
What?
They think it's easy.
Yes, they think you're a weekend warrior.
Yeah.
I've had people be like, I've had people say to me, oh, so you must work a lot on the weekends and not much during the week. I'm like, nope. Yeah, I wish that was true.
Yeah, and I think for people who are out there, the people that are actively working in real estate are working 24/7.
Totally.
Like any business that's connected to social media or something comes up on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You've always got people in the queue looking for things. So a lot of our job becomes a hunt for the right property for the individuals.
Right. It is hard to make a living in this job without hustle.
Right.
The barriers to entry are low. So I'll grant people that. Like you don't have to, you know, you basically have to pass a pretty straightforward test to get your real estate license. But translating that into actually being good at the job and succeeding and building a pipeline of clients and a community and being able to deliver value to people, that's really hard. It's been no easier than any other job I've ever had.
And I think people assume that it's an easy job to get into. It's easy to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And what specialty do you offer me that I can't offer myself?
Right.
And I really think the most important thing when you're buying one of your largest assets is you want to work with someone that's knowledgeable, that can point out things to you, as well as provide you with resources that can help you get through the process, start to finish. And that could be buying it, closing on it, fixing it up, redoing a kitchen, getting a landscaper, whatever it might be that you need.
Yeah.
There is value in someone that's got experience in this business.
Yeah. One of my son's classmates is from Kazakhstan, and I was talking to his dad, and I told him I was a real estate agent, and he was like, oh, yeah. I mean, from what we can tell, all real estate agents seem to be very rich. I was like, if you make it, you can be, you know, so.
But I think the thing in this business that means you make it is you have someone who consistently sells tens of millions of dollars of real estate each year.
Right.
It is not a one-off business.
No.
And for those people that are making it a business, they're working 24/7
totally
to provide a service to their clients.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and you would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yeats Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yeats Team Boston or on the web at yeatsboston.com.